Hey, so we just got done recording this episode and we realized we forgot to start the recorder. So the audio will sound kind of weird for this episode. We're really sorry, but enjoy the episode anyway.
Shalom, everyone. I'm Josiah Jeffrey.
I'm Hosea Jeffrey.
And we're back discussing the Torah portions. This week, we're looking at the portion of Pukudei, which goes from Exodus 38:21 to 40:38. This is the last portion in Exodus, and in some years, it's actually read at the same time as the previous portion in Vayikel. So be sure to check the pinned comment below to see if you should read that one as well. We've already read the portion ahead of time, so if you'd like to read it as well, you can go ahead and pause the video and do that, and then we'll go ahead and get into discussing.
In Pukudei, the people of Israel do all the remaining work which is needed for the priestly garments and for the tabernacle, which Moses sets up and finishes, so that God's glory fills the tabernacle, that he may dwell with his people through all their journeys.
So this portion begins basically by giving an inventory of all the precious metals and other things that have been being used to build the tabernacle. So the amounts given here are listed in talents and shekels. And so there are basic guesses to exactly how much that would weigh, but it can vary a little bit depending on who you ask. But I actually did a little bit of math, and it seems like the amount of gold here was over 1 ton of gold, over 2,000 pounds of gold. And for the silver, it was over 7,300 pounds of silver. So this is an insane amount of precious metal, but it just goes to show how expensive this tabernacle was, all the holy things. This cost a lot of money.
And as we had talked about in the previous portion, the people of Israel were actually giving more than this. Mm. Moses had to stop them because they kept giving more than this.
Right. And you think back to earlier in Exodus, where did the people of Israel get all this gold and silver and bronze and material and stuff?
Egypt.
Yeah.
They plundered the Egyptians just before they left.
So the amount of plundering that the people of Israel did was significant. It said back when they left Egypt that there were about 600,000 men who left. And it repeats a number very similar to that here. So that amount of precious metals for that few people who were just slaves a year ago, that's absolutely crazy.
Another thing worth noting, though, is that it says that with the silver, it was half a shekel for each person. So really, per person, that's not a whole lot. But each man, 20 years old and upward, gave a half a shekel. And it worked out to 603,550 half shekels, which was enough for the tabernacle. I found it really interesting because a little while back, God had specifically told Moses, when you take a census of the people of Israel, you need to take a half shekel from each of the men 20 years old and upward. And so that's what it says they did here, was everyone who was in the records, they took half a shekel per person. So the tabernacle silver was given in fulfillment of that command. In fact, the command specifically said that the half shekel was to make atonement for their lives, and that you shall take the atonement money from the people of Israel and shall give it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may bring the people of Israel to remembrance before Adonai so as to make atonement for your lives. So that money was given for the service of the tent of meeting, and now it's literally being used in the tent of meeting to make the tent of meeting.
Right.
And it specifically said it was for the people of Israel to be remembered before Adonai. So now this silver, which it said was to make atonement for them and to be remembered before God, is being in the tabernacle, in the place where atonement is made for them, in the place where God resides, before him continually. What better way is there for them to be constantly remembered? Hey, this is the thing that we donated. Every single one of the people of Israel gave to that silver in your house.
It's very similar to what we read about the priestly garments. We read in a previous portion, and then it repeats it here as it talks about them making the priestly garments. But it says that Aaron had the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel on shoulder pieces and on a breastplate to bear their names, to bear the people of Israel before God. And so just as the priest bears their names, the tabernacle itself is made from contributions of the common people of Israel.
So at this point, after all the stuff they made in the last portion, basically everything's made. All that's left really is the priestly garments, the garments for Aaron and for his sons. So they make them right now. And we've already read about the different parts of it and their requirements. And so they do everything according to what's commanded. Once again, the emphasis is just that they bring that remembrance of Israel before God and that they are holy. And so once those are done, everything's done. They did every single thing of all this minutia that as you were reading, you were probably like, they did it all. But even though they've got everything made, they haven't done the final assembly yet. It's just a bunch of parts.
Right.
And so they give it all to Moses to say, we did all the stuff.
And so it's at this point that Moses looks everything over. He examines everything. And it says that he gives approval and he blesses the people of Israel. And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it. Just as Adonai had commanded, this they had done. So Moses blessed them. And this stood out to me because Moses is blessing the people of Israel because they followed God's commands to a T. When they had followed God's commands, when they were obedient, they got Moses' blessing. It's a concept that we'll also see later in Torah. Do not add to the command which I'm giving you, nor diminish from it. God has given commands to his people, and he expects us to follow them. And when we follow them, God blesses that.
Yeah, it's definitely a concept that's going to be fleshed out more in the Torah. It's basically God has rules. If you follow them, you get his blessings. On the flip side of that is,
if you don't follow them, you get the curses.
Yeah, and that'll be expounded a lot more. But right here, we're seeing the people of Israel have devoted themselves to keeping God's commands, and now they're receiving the blessings of it.
So now we begin the final chapter of Exodus. It begins with God saying to Moses that he needs to now set up the tabernacle. And God tells him when he should do this, on the first day of the first month. So at the beginning of their second year out of Egypt is when they'll finally be putting the Mishkan, the tabernacle, together. So to give a sense of some of the timeline here, they left Egypt on the 15th day of the first month. And then they arrived at Mount Sinai in the third month. And then Moses received the stone tablets from God for 40 days and 40 nights. So that would bring you to about the fourth month, possibly the fifth month. Then you have the golden calf. Moses breaks the tablets and he goes back up the mountain for another 40 days and 40 nights to get the second set of tablets. And so by the end of that, you'd be somewhere around the sixth month of the year. So over the course of those last 6 months was Moses reasoning with God, trying to get him to dwell with his people. And then the people of Israel build all the things necessary for the Mishkan. So this took months to build everything and craft everything exactly the way it should be.
Well, I mean, this is very intricate work, and there were a lot of things that needed to be built. So, of course, it makes sense for it to take quite a bit of time. But yeah, it's showing that after leaving Egypt, it only took about 6 weeks to get to Sinai. Mm-hmm. And now they've been at Sinai ever since for solid 10 months. And for the people of Israel, that's mostly been a lot of waiting. Mm-hmm. They waited for Moses for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down, he found that they had messed everything up, which meant they had to wait another 40 days and 40 nights. And then finally, once he got back, they were able to give until Moses said, "We have enough, no more giving." From there, it was all the craftsmen. The people of Israel didn't have anything to do, just wait for the craftsmen to finish building the tabernacle. So to get to this point, it's needed a lot of patience. Mm. But now they're finally here. It's ready.
So God then commands Moses to actually set up the tabernacle. They've made all the pieces, and now Moses is in charge of putting it all together and also taking the holy anointing oil and anointing everything in the tabernacle, anointing the tabernacle itself, anointing the altar, and anointing the priests who will serve there. It says that Moses will anoint Aaron, and then it says he'll anoint Aaron's sons, even as you have anointed their father, that they may minister as priests, as Kohanim to me. And their anointing will qualify them for a perpetual priesthood, a Kohunat Olam, an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. So we've already touched on this in a previous portion, which is that this anointing is what sets them apart as priests. We talked about how anointing is related to Messiah. The word Mashiach means anointed one. And so in this way, the call of a priest is a messianic call. But I also wanted to just talk about how this is a perpetual priesthood, an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. God didn't put any kind of expiration date on this. He said that these priests are going to be priests forever. The sons of Aaron have a covenant forever. For as long as there are sons of Aaron, God will have a faithful covenant with them to have them serve before him.
This is kind of like the setup for the next book of the Torah. He's establishing there's going to be a perpetual priesthood. And then the whole next book is going to have a lot about the details of the operation of that priesthood. And it's going to emphasize the nature and calling, perpetual calling of those priests and exactly what they do.
And again, like we've said before, the earthly priesthood that the sons of Aaron have is an example and a shadow of the heavenly things. So everything that we're going to read in the next book about the everlasting priesthood that the sons of Aaron have will be a shadow and a reflection of the heavenly priesthood, of which Yeshua is the high priest.
So now, Moses does what God says. On the first day of the first month of the second year after they came out of Egypt, Moses sets up the tabernacle. He puts all the pieces together. He puts the bases and the frames and the poles and the bars and all the curtains, puts the tent over it, and he puts all the things in the tabernacle, all of the holy things, including the Ark of the Covenant and the veil and the menorah and the table and the altar of incense and the altar for burnt offerings and the outer court around it. All the pieces, he puts them all together. And so everything's just according to the pattern that God showed him on the mountain. Mm. And it says, so Moses finished the work. So I wanted to focus on that for a little bit. The people of Israel built all of this stuff. The people of Israel gave all the materials for it. The people of Israel did the vast majority of the work, you could say. And yet, without Moses, it was just a bunch of pieces. Moses had to be the one to finish the work. Moses had to be the one to put everything together. Moses had to be the one to make everything holy. Moses was the one who did the anointing, not just of the priests, but of the tabernacle.
Right.
By anointing it, he made it holy. And so it just shows Moses is again fulfilling a messianic role. And Moses is the one who takes the people of Israel's work and makes it holy because he's the arbiter of this covenant.
Yeah, he was the one who sacrificed the animals to initiate this covenant and said, this is the blood of the covenant. He was the one who wrote it all down in the book of the covenant. Moses is the one making this covenant between Israel and God.
This covenant which allows God to dwell in Israel's midst. Mm. It's only possible through Moses because Moses finishes the work. Mm. Whatever the people of Israel tried to do to follow the rules to get the thing built so that God can dwell with them, ultimately, it will fail unless Moses is there to finish the work. I think this points to Yeshua. Yeshua mediates a new and better covenant, which brings us near to God. No matter what we try to do, we can't finish the work. Mm. We can't make it holy. And so we can't bring God into our presence, much less come into his. But Yeshua, through the covenant, makes us holy. Yeshua finishes the work. Yeshua does what we cannot do because of his unique position. And so he brings us near to God.
So now that the work of building the tabernacle is complete, God shows up to inhabit it. It says that the cloud of God's glory covered the tent of meeting and he filled the tabernacle such that even Moses wasn't able to enter. It's like Moses has been super close to God, almost like no barrier between him and God. And yet, even here, his glory is so present in this Mishkan that Moses can't even enter because the glory of God is filling it. So now God is dwelling with his people Israel. That was the whole point of this. The word Mishkan means dwelling place. This is the place where God dwells with his people. He's right there with them. And like Moses said to God previously, God's presence being with his people, dwelling with his people, is what makes the people of Israel different from any other ethnic group on the entire face of the earth, is that God is with them and goes up with them.
In fact, it says that God wasn't just with them, he was leading them. Mm. From here on, throughout the whole Torah, whenever they're going someplace, God's the first one to move. It says when the cloud of God went up from the tabernacle, the people of Israel got up and followed it. But if the cloud stayed where it was, if God stayed dwelling in his tent, then all the rest of the people stayed in their tents. And the cloud was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night. Mm. So just as when they left Egypt, it says there was the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire leading them.
Now that's what's here in the tabernacle.
Yeah. God's leading presence is there, dwelling with the people of Israel.
So I thought this was a really good picture of what it looks like to follow God. The people of Israel were looking to that cloud and that fire to know when they should go and when they should stop, to know where they should go and where they should stop. Everything was based on seeing what God was doing. And so sometimes they needed to be moving. Sometimes they had a place to go. And sometimes God said, now we wait, now we rest, now we stop. And so in the same way, in our lives, we should always be looking to God, trying to see what God wants us to be doing right now, or if he even wants us to be doing anything right now. Sometimes God just wants us to stop, but sometimes God wants us to just go, 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 go. We need to be paying attention to God and looking to him, seeking him. God says, seek me and live. And also, we can walk in the Spirit, try to listen to what his Ruach is telling us to do. And so sometimes we'll need to be doing a lot. We'll need to be going to places, but sometimes we'll need to stop and not do anything. And we need to be patient during those times. And when we're going, 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 sometimes we'll get tired and we'll want to stop. But God says, no, you need to keep going. There are certain times when we need to work until we drop and then some. And then there are other times where we need to sit still, even though we're antsy. And so whatever time it is, we need to be looking to God, listening to his Spirit, reading his word to know what we should be doing and when we should do it. Now, before we wrap up the book of Exodus, there's one more thing which I want to mention, which is that Yeshua tabernacled with us. It says in John 1, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, referring to Yeshua becoming a man and living among his people. And the Greek word that's used here for dwelt actually means to live in a tabernacle. The word can refer to both a mishkan like this, because the word mishkan means a dwelling place, or it can also actually mean living in a sukkah. What it's saying is the word of God, who was with God and who was God, came and dwelt, tabernacled among his people. In fact, Young's literal translation says he did tabernacle with us. So in the same way that God's glory is coming down and visibly being seen by all the people and living in this mishkan, this dwelling place, so also in Yeshua, all the fullness of the deity dwells bodily. In fact, John will also say that we beheld his glory. So in the same way that God came to dwell with his people in the mishkan, so also God came to dwell with his people in Yeshua. In fact, that's why the scriptures say that his name will be called Immanuel, which means God with us. Here in Exodus, God has commissioned the construction of this really holy place where most of the people can't even enter parts of it. In fact, when he's there, Moses can't even enter because his glory is so thick there. So he's with his people, yes, and yet there's still a separation there. But when Yeshua came, he walked among us. He talked to us. He touched us. He became one of us. He was like us in all things. Yeshua dwelt with us. And in that way, God came to dwell with his people in a way that he never had before. That is what made Yeshua so unique, is that he enabled God to dwell among his people, out with his people, out with the sick people, out with the hurting people, out with the sinners. God went among his people.
We're specifically told Yeshua was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yeshua came to tabernacle, to be that mishkan, not just with people, but with Israel.
Mm.
As we already read, God sets apart his people because he dwells among them.
Mm.
That's how he does it. So also, the people of Israel were set apart through Yeshua living among them.
Yeah, Yeshua didn't go. When he came to live on this earth, he didn't go ministering to the Gentiles. He came to the Jewish people.
And through his being that tabernacle who lives among the people of Israel, he nonetheless can bring everyone near to him, even the other nations, as we fulfill our obligation to be that kingdom of Kohanim, as we fulfill that priesthood we bring other people near to him, the Mishka.
We read from Ezekiel in the previous portion, but I just wanted to bring it up again and add one more verse. He said after he'll send his servant David, the messianic king, and establish his covenant with his people Israel, where he gives them his spirit, he says, my dwelling place, my Mishkan, also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations, the Goyim, will know that I am Adonai who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. So through the messianic Davidic covenant with his people, in which he makes his Mishkan with his people forever, that is how all the nations will know that he is God. Because he is the God who sanctifies Israel, and he dwells with Israel. And so he is the real God, and all the nations can come to him. And again, I wanted to go to Revelation, which we referenced a few portions ago, when it talks about in the end, in the new Jerusalem, in the new heavens and new earth, it says, and I did not see a temple in the city, for its temple is Adonai Elohei Tzivaot and the Lamb. And the city has no need of the sun nor the moon that they may shine on it, for the glory of God gives off its light, and the lamp of it is the Lamb. So all of this, all of God's glory coming to live in this Mishkan, even Yeshua coming to dwell and tabernacle among his people, it all points to that day far off in the future. Well, we pray it's not too far off, when God will come and redeem his people. The old things will pass away. He will bring in the new, and he will dwell with us, not in walls. He will be our temple. The Lamb will be our temple. He will be our light. He will be that glory, which will shine throughout all the earth.
So I think the main takeaway from this portion is also the main takeaway of the whole book of Exodus. And that's for you to seek to do your part in God's plan. In this portion, we saw all the people of Israel and the craftsmen had finished the work, but it took Moses to actually finish the work. But when everyone had done their part, the people who gave, the people who built, Moses had put everything together and made it all holy, God was able to fulfill his plan, which he had been working to through the whole book, which was for God to set apart his people by dwelling in their midst. Mm. And in order to fulfill that plan, God had been working from the beginning of this book and before. Mm. But we saw it in how he chose different people and called them to different purposes. From as far back as the midwives and Moses himself and Aaron and all the people of Israel and Joshua and the craftsmen. Everybody had their own part to play in following God's commands, in bringing about the accomplishment of his work. But ultimately, it all came down to Moses. Mm. Moses, through whom God gave the covenant, through whom God made the holy place holy, through whom God established the priesthood and enabled the fulfillment of that plan to dwell with his people. Now, that plan that he fulfilled in Exodus is only a shadow of his ultimate plan, which is to dwell in the midst of all of us, for us to come to his throne without hindrance, for there to be no walls, no physical dwelling place, for he will be the temple and we will be his temples. And in order to fulfill that plan, he has given all of us in his body our own unique roles to play. We are all called to do his work, and we are called to pray for more workmen to come to the harvest. Mm-hmm. So be one of those workmen. Come to the harvest. See how God is calling you. See how he is leading you. Be patient when you need to be patient. Listen to his voice. But when he calls, obey that call. Mm. Do his work. But ultimately, rely on the one who he sent to give the covenant, to finish the work, Yeshua, who makes everything holy by his holiness, who is the tabernacle, who is the priest, who is the sacrifice. Mm. Rely on him, who is your head. Let him put all the pieces together and make sure you're being the most faithful part in that work that you can be.
That wraps up the portion of Pukkudei and the book of Exodus. Next week, we'll be looking at the portion Vayikra, which begins the book of Leviticus. So be sure to tune in for that. Thanks so much for watching. Be sure to like, share, comment, subscribe, and hit the notification bell to keep updated on new videos. And if you would, please consider sending us a donation to help us make more videos like these. We would really appreciate it. Thanks again for watching, and we'll see you next week. God bless.